Welcome back to our study of Leviticus. We are in the first chapter, and I told you at the end of first session we were going to get back to that phrase, without blemish. But before we do, let's read the fourth verse in chapter 1, and then we're going to tie this without blemish in together. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And so this burnt offering, you remember, it was either a bull, a cow, a goat, or a sheep, right? A lamb that was offered. And this cow, or bull, or whatever the case may be, had to be without blemish, no defects. And all of that is a type that's pointing to the one that was without defect, without blemish, our Savior Jesus Christ. But what they did here, is all right, is they had to take their hands, and I want you to get a visual of this animal that they were bringing as a sacrifice for the Lord. And they put their hands on the head of this animal. So this animal was acting as a substitute for them to make atonement for him. And there's so much there we're going to talk about. I want you to understand the difference between atonement and remission of sin. Because the best this law could do was atonement, would cover the sin for a year or however long until the next offense took place. It never remitted or removed the sin. So there was always a constant reminder there of what was happening, of what, of the sin or whatever the case may be, the offense. You always had a reminder of that because it was never removed. Just think about something. If you've got it in your house and you've got it covered up and sitting in the corner, every time you walk by it, there's a reminder, I need to put that thing up in the attic or whatever the case may be. It may be covered, so people can't necessarily see what it is. But every time you walk by it, there's a reminder. I need to take care of that. That's what, when you atone something, when the sin or offense or whatever was atoned, it just covered it. That was the best it could do.
I want to talk to you about substitute. Because this is something I think people do not fully understand what substitution is. Generally, when we think of someone being a substitute, we would relate it to athletics. Mm-hmm. And the substitute, generally speaking, is not a starter. He's one to replace the starter. So when you look at it from that perspective, the substitute is not as good as. And so we have the wrong conception of what a substitute is. We say, well, he took the place. But now note this. The only one that could take your place had to be better than you.
Yeah.
And so this animal had to be faultless, without blemish. Because the person bringing it wasn't without fault. And to get an acceptable substitute, that substitute had to be totally innocent. The animal's innocent.
Yeah.
The animal hasn't done anything wrong. This is pointing to Jesus, who would act as the substitute for all humanity. The substitute had to be better than. He could not have any sin in his life, or he would not be an acceptable sacrifice. That's why it is absolutely imperative to believe in the virgin birth of Jesus. Because without a virgin birth, there is no sinless person. Because that nature is handed down from one generation to another generation. And people sin because it's their nature to sin. And to get a person to stop sinning, you need to change their nature.
Yeah.
And so this is what Jesus did. Acting as our substitute, Father God being His Father, He was birthed by the Word of God, not by the sperm of man. You follow me? So He's sinless. He's sinless. Yet He made a legal entry through the womb of woman, so He can legally identify with the Adamic race, although His father's not Adam. His father's God. The inward man controlling the outward man. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what the substitution's all about. And so these animals that they're bringing had to be faultless. Okay? Now, where Heather mentioned the one who brought the animal had to place his hands on the head of the animal, it's identifying with that animal. And when we get to the 16th chapter, you'll find that the sin is transferred over. But that's done by faith.
Yes.
You understand? The animal hadn't sinned. Can you put sin on somebody? You just believe that because you follow God's mandate, you follow His protocol, that God's good for His word, and that that innocent animal becomes sin for that sinful violator of humanity, okay? And so you get a good concept of substitute, not someone lesser than, someone better than. Okay?
So let's talk for a minute, too, if we may, about the difference here with the atonement and the remission.
With the what?
Atonement and the remission.
Atonement, by definition, is to cover. Remission is to do away with. And so when a person brought a sacrifice for their sin, it covered their sin. But it never purged your conscience. They were always mindful. And on the Day of Atonement, which was an annual event, it reminded the entire nation, your sinful nation. So every year, although their sin was covered to where God's wrath was not poured out on them by following God's protocol, they were still guilty because their nature hadn't been changed. Now, when the sin is remitted, where there is remission of sin, there's no more remembrance of sin.
Amen.
If it is done away with, it can't be held against you.
Yeah.
Now, this is why when a person died before Jesus rose again, then that person went into the heart of the earth, into what's commonly called Abraham's bosom. Jesus told the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." But where did Jesus go? He said himself that he would be in the heart of the earth, like Jonah was in the belly of the whale, 3 days and three nights. So will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth, 3 days and three nights. Okay, what's he doing? And here again, we'll really cover this more in depth in Leviticus 16. He's removing the sin. Not just getting forgiveness of the sin, but removing the sin. Now, once he removed it, then all those who were held captive, even though it's paradise, Ephesians 4:8 tells you that he led captive the captives. He captured the captives. What did he do? He took them out of that bondage that they were in because they had to be sinless before they could get into the presence of God. Now, Jesus was the first one born again.
Yeah.
He's the leader, you understand? And so by accomplishing full redemption, man was able to get into the presence of God. Now, something else you'll see, and we'll go back with this, let's go back to it in Leviticus 16, is when Jesus was resurrected, they saw bodies of saints walk in the streets of Jerusalem who had been dead. They were also resurrected.
Yeah.
But they couldn't go up into heaven until Jesus had ascended and applied his blood, not on an earthly mercy seat, but in heaven. That's why he told those women, don't detain me. That's a better translation. Don't hold on to me. But you go tell the apostles, but I'm ascending to my Father and their Father. In other words, once I do this, he'll become their Father, because then they will have a nature change, not the nature of Adam, but now we'll get the nature of God, which happened on the day of Pentecost. That's when they had their nature change. You with me? A lot of people miss that. But the difference between atonement and remission is to cover something or to do away with it. You can have a stain on a tablecloth and set a plate over it.
Yeah.
And people don't see it.
That's right.
Or you can apply the right chemical and get rid of the stain. Jesus got rid of the stain.
Amen.
That's why there is no condemnation.
That's right.
For those who are in Christ Jesus, if you don't walk after the flesh.
Yes.
Your spirit has no condemnation. The born again spirit is clean.
Yes.
Sinless.
Absolutely.
He is faithful to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
That's right.
You see the difference?
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus didn't atone. He fulfilled atonement. And when he fulfilled atonement, he remitted the sin of humanity. That doesn't mean everybody's saved like some are teaching. It means the potential is there, but you have to receive Jesus in order to be saved. You have to identify with the substitute.
Amen.
Okay?
Very good. Thank you. I want to go back just to this idea of the substitution. You know, we've read and we've talked about many times, and we'll quote the scripture, you know, live by faith. We have to live by faith. We're to live by faith. That's exactly what these Israelites were to do too, to live by faith. That substitution, that was an act of faith, believing that that animal could be their substitute. That was major to me.
If you think about the law required works. But the works you did, you had to believe that those works were going to please God.
Yes.
And so the law, there was an element of faith to the law.
Yeah. That's good.
But the law is not a substitute for faith. Okay.
That's very good. Verse 5. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces.
Okay. Now, think about this. If you lay your hands on the animal's head, the animal's killed, you just died. You substitute. You understand? When your substitute's killed, it's symbolic of you being killed.
Mm-hmm.
And the blood is poured out. What the blood is the sign around the altar of the sacrifice to where it would be acceptable to God. The blood's poured out, then the meat is offered to God. The life is in the blood.
Yes.
So when you pour the blood out, you're actually pouring your life around the altar. So when that animal blood was poured out, it was like the person who's brought it, his blood being poured out as a sacrifice to God. He's offering himself to the Lord. His life is to the Lord.
That's good. And then this animal was skinned and cut into pieces because it's getting ready to be cooked, right? So in verse 7, and the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall...
Before you go on, the animal was skinned.
Yeah.
Got to get the flesh off.
Ooh. Amen.
You understand?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that'd be skinned alive.
Ooh.
Or skinned so they can live, right?
Amen.
You get the picture.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar.
Notice the person is not the one who could build the fire. He presents himself to God's representative. The priest's type of Jesus, you know, God's representative. You present yourself to Jesus, okay? Then the priests are the only ones that can actually minister to the Lord the sacrifices. They have to, they're the ones that build the fire on the altar. They're the ones that places the meat on the altar. You present yourself. Let's do it this way. No, you present yourself to the priest, and the priest lays that meat on that altar the way God has said it was to be on there. You just don't throw a piece of meat on the altar. They were strategically placed on the altar. Read it.
We're going to find out, too, the fire, this fire for the altar actually comes from the Lord. He's the one that lights this altar. And so as we read, we're going to find that this fire, the priests were responsible whenever the camp moved. They had to take the, what do you call it, the embers or whatever with them, didn't they, for the fire?
The embers?
Mm-hmm. That's pretty neat. So he's just laying this thing
out. And the only sacrifice God's step was accepted was well done. Not rare. Not medium well.
Burnt.
I mean, we laugh at that, but there's a truth to that.
Yeah.
God wants it well done. I want the fire on it until it is thoroughly cooked. Okay? Spiritual principle in that.
Very good.
He'll take you through the fire test until you're thoroughly cooked. Then you're presentable.
That's good. Verse 9. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord.
This is interesting. The internal.
Yeah.
There's an inward man and an outward man, right? The internal man had to be, the internal part of this animal had to be washed and cleaned before it was sacrificed. Your heart has to be clean before God before it's an acceptable sacrifice to God. Okay?
That's good. We were talking today about this, and there's got to be some great significance about washing the internal organs and the legs. And I couldn't help but think about the washing of the water with the Word. And how those two, it's pointing to that, I'm convinced. Where the inward man is cleansed to the point that the walk changes. The walk becomes pleasing to the Lord.
You think about this. He says that was a fragrant odor to the Lord. The Lord likes the smell of the clean that's given themselves over to the Lord. It's pleasant to Him.
Good.
He don't want your stinking flesh.
Heard that.
What?
Yeah.
Or mine.
And if his offering be of the flocks, namely of the sheep or of the goats, for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it a male without blemish.
Now here again we're looking at God's way. God's way was it has to be a male.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be without blemish. You can't say, well, I think I'll offer this one. No. You have to do it God's way. And when the Spirit of God deals with our hearts, or when the Word of God is speaking to us, that's the way it has to be done. If He says male, He means male. If He says without blemish, He means without blemish. It's not an alternate way. It's God's way.
You know, you think about that. Man would naturally say, well, let me just get rid of the animal that's going to be of no use to me, the one I don't want reproducing. You know, let me get rid of the one that's not worth anything. But here again, all this is pointing to Jesus.
In certain sacrifices, a female was acceptable.
Yes.
But in certain sacrifices, it had to be a male. I want you to think about this. It was a male that brought sin into the world.
Yeah.
Eve was deceived.
Mm-hmm.
But the Scripture says that Adam was in the transgression. 1 Corinthians 15 says, by one man, sin entered into the world. So I think there's some significance in this. That man had to die for man. Male had to die because he's the one that did it. Okay?
That's good. Verse 11. And he shall kill it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord. And the priest Aaron's sons shall sprinkle his blood round about upon the altar.
Now here again, note that God gives the location. It's not just, take the animal up to the entrance there and kill it. No, God says, no, I want that animal slaughtered on the north side of the altar. You with me?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know all the significance of that other than God said to do it. And Aaron's sons, the priest, they were to sprinkle the blood around the brass altar. But here again, as we said earlier, what we need to glean out of this is doing it God's way. And I'm telling you, churches don't do it God's way today. Things have changed dramatically for the worse. The more revelation that we get, it seems like the farther people are getting away from God. And you would think that the more revelation we get, the closer we would get to God.
Right.
But man is using things to consume on himself. He is not using that revelation for the purpose that God ordained it. What God does to you, He wants to do through you. What God shows you, it's not just for your benefit, but to benefit other people. Your experiences that you go through, you'll find if you obey God that your experiences will benefit other people who are going through maybe a similar experience. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not without significance. Let's just do it God's way. That's extremely vital.
The other thing I see in this is we've read more than once now, and we're only in, what, the 11th verse, but we've read more than once the priests, Aaron's sons, the men, these are the men that I've set to do this job, to perform this. You know, the Lord is still setting people in the body for works, right? To help the body. He set these men for this particular job. So not just any old Joe Schmo could come up, well, you know, I can do your job. I can do this. Let me just move sides. I know how to cut this in them. I'll take care of this. That's not how it worked. Just like these sacrifices had an order that the Lord laid out, procedures that He laid out. He also said explicitly who was to do these duties. Who'd carry it this
way? When we get into the book of Numbers, you're going to find job description.
I heard that, yeah.
This one does this, this one does this, this one does that. Don't cut off a tribe, don't cut off a family by allowing them to violate. And I'm going to tell you there's so many violations in the church today, it's just pathetic. No. What God has gifted you to do sets you apart for that purpose, not to run somebody else's business.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Yeah.
There is a fivefold ministry that has specific assignment. There are body ministry gifts. They have specific assignment. There are manifestation gifts that have a specific purpose. Okay? And so it's not that anybody can do anything. You know, I had some guys to come to the office back years ago and telling me that the church wasn't supposed to have a pastor, I think is the way they said it. And went on that it's sort of like the Korah deal.
Yeah.
With, hey, we're all saved. Well, we're all Levites. We're Kohathites. I mean, what you and Aaron take, Moses, you and Aaron taking too much on yourself.
Yeah.
And so they're saying that everybody is equal. We're all in the body of Christ. Well, I'll agree with that if you're born again. Okay? But you have different roles.
Mm-hmm.
I don't walk on my hands if I can help it. You understand?
Yeah.
That's not the role. Now I don't eat with my feet. That's not the role. You follow me? But a lot of people in the church are trying to operate in something God did not set them apart to do, and it's a violation of God, and it will not be blessed. God will not bless violations. You follow me?
Yeah.
And so we need to learn from this. When He said the priests are to do it, and He identified who the priest was,
mm-hmm.
Not who the people made priest, but who God made priest.
Right.
Aaron's sons.
That's right.
That's the priest. Other Kohathites, there were other Kohathites, but they weren't sons of Aaron. Levites, you understand, there were three families of Levi,
mm-hmm.
Kohath, Merari, and Gershon, but the Merarites had their assignment, Gershon had their assignment, Kohathites had their assignment, but then out of the Kohathites, God selected Aaron to be the high priest and Aaron's sons to be the priest. And you can't violate that. You have to do it God's way. These things concern me because of what I'm seeing today. And the thing of it is people are just applauding the violations of God. They love it. Entertain me. Make me feel good about myself. Don't tell me something that'll bring conviction to my heart. Stroke my flesh. Make me happy. God's not a flesh stroker. Kill that flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Skin it.
Not too graphic.
Skin it alive. Okay. Verse 12. And he shall cut it into his pieces with his head and his fat, and the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. But he shall wash the inwards and the legs with water, and the priest shall bring it all and burn it upon the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord.
Do you see that he will lay them in order?
Yeah, that's good.
Not just throw it on the grill.
Yeah.
Well, what's the order? It's not for me to know. It's not for you to know. It was for the priest to know. That was something exclusive for the priest. They were told how they were to offer the sacrifices. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You just have to trust God that he knows best. What we need to know is the order for our lives.
Yeah.
What's my role? What's my responsibility? And if I do my role, I do my responsibility, or fulfill my responsibility, if someone else is in violation, then I'm not accountable for them. But I am accountable for me.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
I can't make people serve God.
Mm-mm.
All we can do is feed them the Word of God. And then it's up to the individual whether they want to eat the food or throw it up. You follow me?
Mm-hmm. That's good. Verse 14. And if the burnt sacrifice for his offering to the Lord be of fowls, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or of young pigeons.
Okay, so not only could you bring an animal, but you could bring a bird, but you couldn't bring any old bird.
Mm-hmm.
God's not wanting you to offer no buzzard on his altar. You understand? I mean, he spells it out, turtle dove or pigeon.
That's it.
And then there's a proper protocol for how those birds are to be offered
mm-hmm.
on the altar. Now, why would he say bird? Because there was poverty. Not everyone could afford a cow or sheep. And so God made a provision. If they can't bring this, then they can bring this. I mean, it just shows you the mercy of God.
Yeah.
And the compassion of God. He's not saying, well, that's tough luck, Jack. You know? No, he gives a provision. And so birds were a provision. A man could catch a bird. You follow me? But you have to give something. You remember what David said when Arona was going to here, just take the sacrifice, take the instrument. David said, I will not offer to God something that doesn't cost me anything.
Yeah, that's right.
I will pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a lot of people want to be freeloaders, want to ride on somebody else's coattail. No, you give. Don't think you're going to give God something that didn't cost you anything. There is a sacrifice to God. Okay.
Amen. Verse 15.
Okay.
And the priest shall bring it unto the altar, and wring off his head, and burn it on the altar, and the blood thereof shall be wrung out at the side of the altar.
Let's just tear up these animal activists, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, you bring the bird, wring its head. It's amazing these people that eat chicken, they don't know how that chicken got in the store. Somebody wrung its head off, chopped it off, or whatever, you drained the blood out of it. You don't eat the blood.
Yeah.
You don't drink the blood. The blood had to be drunk. Because eating the blood or drinking the blood is eating the life.
Yeah.
God's not wanting you to eat the life of anything but the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You take His life. You take His blood.
Yeah.
Not blood of anything else. Not the blood of any animal substitute.
Mm-hmm.
Not human blood. You follow me?
Yeah.
God has a purpose in all that. We have to follow the will and purpose of God.
That's right.
Okay?
Very good.
Okay, or is our...
Let's stop here.
Are we at a stopping place there?
We're at a stopping
place.
Okay,
since we're at a good stopping place, we'll stop there and pick back up with this in our next session. Okay? Remind that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory, your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. The Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you flee before you. Amen. You guys have a great weekend.